talking with Senator James Lankford. Senator, you had some strong words to say about renewable fuel standard, RFS, earlier this week.
I do actually have some very strong opinions on it. I'm not opposed to ethanol, but I am very opposed to the mandate that goes with ethanol. The Congressional Budget Office did an extensive study on corn-based ethanol and said if the mandate was pulled back, what change would happen? They studied it extensively, said if it's pulled back, 13 billion gallons of corn-based ethanol would still be used just voluntarily because the system is in place and people prefer that fuel. But what would go away is higher prices for it because the mandate is actually driving up the price to the consumer and actually limiting the amount of choice. People that don't want to have ethanol shouldn't be required to have it. Those that choose to use the fuel, it's in the system. It's already built in the cake at this point, and it will continue to be used for those areas and especially those regions where a lot of that corn-based ethanol is actually produced. It will be in our system for a very long time, if not forever at this point. But the mandate should go away quickly.
So you're feeling this probably outlived its usefulness?
It has outlived its usefulness. When ethanol was required, the conversation at that time was we need two things. We need to do this for environmental reasons, and we need to do this for independence, energy independence for the United States. Energy independence is not a conversation that's really going on anymore. With the dramatic finds in natural gas and with oil all around the country, the mandate was passed, 60% of our oil was imported. Now 27% of our oil is imported. So there's a dramatic shift on that. The second thing is the environmental issue. Now the studies have come out showing that ethanol, as it's used, actually increases ground-based ozone. So the EPA is currently trying to decrease the amount of ground-based ozone that can be in every place, and they'll have a lot of non-attainment areas all over the country, including in Oklahoma, when ethanol is a major contributor to that. So at one point, EPA is requiring the use of ethanol, and at another moment, they're saying you can't have increased ozone. You can't have both of those.
Right. Country of origin labeling. House has already basically voted to repeal mandatory COOL. It's up to the Senate now to look at that issue as well. Is that going to come up, you think, successfully? Is leadership going to do that? And how do you feel about basically getting rid of this bill that's been around since 2008?
Yeah, I think we should get rid of country of origin labeling. It has created all kinds of problems. Plus, it just creates chaos in the market as well that no one knows how to be able to track all the additional regulations with no additional gain to the consumer. So if we have something, it should show a gain to the consumer. This is just additional price for the consumer, not additional gain. So we should get rid of it. I think the Senate will take it up. I think it was right for the House to be able to take it up, take the lead, and be able to send it to the Senate. Let's get it passed and repealed, and let's get on with this.
Finally, you had some words to say about what you think the Supreme Court may be doing here in the next few days regarding their case with Obamacare. What happens if indeed they do overturn Obamacare, and what's the Congress response?
Right. In the next 6 days, the Supreme Court will come out with a decision. It doesn't take out all of Obamacare, but it does deal with A sections. That's the subsidies and the mandates. The way the law is written, it's very clear that the subsidies and mandates are only attached to a place that actually has created a state-based exchange. Well, Oklahoma and 33 other states did the federal exchange, said we're not going to create a state exchange. But those subsidies and mandates came anyway. So literally the administration reinterpreted the plain text of the law. So the Supreme Court's actually ruling on a very interesting thing. Does the law mean what the law says? So it's a bigger issue than just Obamacare. It's a lot of future laws and the power of the executive branch. How much power does the executive branch have to reinterpret the plain text reading of the law? What will happen is, if those subsidies and those mandates go away, the Senate and the House have already worked together to be able to lay out three simple ideas. One is to hold harmless those individuals that have received those subsidies right now. They can't just be cut off in a day. They'd be very exposed as a family. So just like many of them were pushed into Obamacare, we can't just push it out right away. Some are cancer patients, diabetics, all kinds of issues in treatment. So we've got to have a bridge to be able to get out of this. The second part of it is we've got to have states give greater authority. That's where we had it before. Growing programs like Insure Oklahoma, other ways for states to be able to take care of those individuals. And then the third aspect is to take away the mandates from everyone that has them currently on them. Allow individuals to go back and make the decisions on their own health care again and their insurance options. Right now, the administration says you can pick any insurance you like as long as these three that we like as well. Well, it needs to go back to those patients to say, we like this other policy, and we have the opportunity to be able to choose that again.
You've got a couple of terms under your belt here on the House side. You've shifted over to the Senate with this 2-year term that you picked up at the end of Senator Colburn's tenure. Your thoughts about making that shift? Are you glad you did? And what have you learned?
Yeah, I am glad that I made the shift. It's very, very different in the way they practice. The House is really a gang fight every single day. If you get 218, you don't care what the other side ever thinks. You just run over the top of them. The Senate, you can't do that. You have to have 60 to be able to move any idea. And so it forces more conversations. And quite frankly, it forces you into being a legislator. You have to go convince the other side that you're right and to be able to work through the policy issues and to be able to get it done. So it's a unique day, obviously, with Republicans in the majority again, which we haven't been for a while in the Senate, to step into the leadership there. But we still have to find 6 Democrats for every single bill that we're going to bring up to the floor, because you've got to have 60 to even vote on something and to be able to push it through. So it's a good transition. It's a lot of work. Where there are 435 people that split up the set of responsibilities in the Senate, 100 people split up that same group of responsibilities. So it dramatically increases my workload and the workload that our office does, but it's been very positive because we're able to influence a lot of policy.